The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Question. Hello, everyone. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior. We're broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Hey, Junior, TGIF, man.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Excited for the weekend.
Oh, I am too. Oh, my gosh. You know, we've got a great show today. We've got Zen Honeycutt coming up at the half. We're going to be talking about the USDA and GMOs, one of my favorite subjects, going back to many, many years ago when we first discovered the dangers of GMOs. And I'm really looking forward to speaking with Zen Honeycutt about it. She's an activist, speaker, author, and the founder and director of Moms Across America, which is a nonprofit organization. I think most people have heard of it, but she's a rock star. Can't wait to hear what she has to say, because it's important. Our health is it's everything, you know?
Absolutely, right? Yes.
Well, and you know, it's been a crazy week.
Yeah.
It's just been a crazy week. And because I have two sick cats and I have been dealing with it now for, I don't know, like this is day eight. Both of them are back at the hospital this morning.
Oh, no.
So, you know, Butters, my cat Butters. And you know what? I'm going to introduce Mark because he'll love this story. He'll understand. He's our first guest today, and he's an amazing guy. So Mark Peralta is the Chief Program Officer for Best Friends Animal Society, a leading national animal welfare organization dedicated to ending the killing of dogs and cats in America's shelters. Mark also founded and runs Vintage Pet Rescue with this wife. I need to give my rescue a name. But anyway, with his wife, Kristen, rescuing senior pets from shelters and assisting owners who can no longer take care of their senior pets. He is amazing. Mark Peralta, how you doing today?
I am fabulous. Happy Friday, everybody.
I know. It's been a crazy week, Mark. So I'm about $3,500 deep so far on my two cats from surgeries and Well, giving them fluids every day and just all kinds of stuff. And that kind of stuff just happens. It's unfortunate. But so this is kind of funny. So my cat Butters, and I know you love cats, too. A lot of people out there listening love all animals. But some people are more cat lovers than dog lovers. You're kind of more of a cat lover, aren't you?
I am, yes. Even though I run a mostly dog rescue, I'm with you with the cats.
Well, I love them all. But so my cat Butters, he's the one that opens all the doors and usually does the show with me. Well, about 2 weeks ago, I kind of noticed that he wasn't, you know, coming up to do the show with me because, like I said, I'm up in the studio, but he'll hit the door and he'll unlock it. He'll come right in. Anyway, so last night, little stinker, I had him in my bathroom. He was all hooked up on his with his catheter and he had his food and his water. He seemed pretty comfortable. And he got up and he opened the door and he walked all over the house and disconnected, pulled his catheter out of his, is it urethra? Is that the body part we're talking about, right?
Yep, that's the one.
And so anyway, it's been one of those crazy mornings, but why I'm bringing this up is I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't. I love my cats, you know, and my dogs, all my pets, my family members. They bring so much meaning to my life. And I know that all of you at Best Friends feel the same way about the pets all over this wonderful world that we live in. So let's talk about this, though. There's a 2021 community shelter forecast from Best Friends. So will you remind our listeners about the mission of Best Friends?
Yeah, absolutely. So the mission of Best Friends Animal Society is to bring about a time where there are no more homeless pets. And as you so eloquently put in my intro, we basically do that by helping ending, you know, killing in America's shelters through building community programs, partnerships all across the nation.
Well, and you guys have done a lot this year, though, right? I mean, you guys real. I just got your latest newsletter because I'm a Golden Circle member, which means what? What does that mean to everyone out there listening, Mark?
It means you are one of the top supporters of our work. So you provide a certain amount of donations to us to allow us to continue to do work with shelters all over the country. So thank you so much for that.
Well, yeah. Well, the reason I brought it up is not because I'm looking for kudos or anything, but because you can do it for as little as, if I'm not mistaken, for like $10 a month, right?
Oh, yeah. You could even do it for less than that. I mean, I have family members that give $5 a month, friends that give $5 a month. Anything helps, you know.
And it just gets pulled from your credit card. It's like an auto pay. And it's really simple to do. I did it when you guys were in town for the, what were you,
We did a conference. Yeah, we did a big conference. That's where we first met.
Right.
I mean, it feels like yesterday, but it was, a year and a half ago now.
Wow. Well, you know, I think everybody, Mark, was so relieved to say goodbye to 2020. But you guys are still facing many of the same challenges here in 2021. So what's the most pressing right now for Best Friends and the local shelters across the U.S.?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that you're seeing a lot in the media, as well as a lot of us in the industry are talking about, are just housing and economic difficulties. And kind of just to sum it up, you know, there's 173 million pets in American homes right now. And, you know, if you have 30 or 40 million Americans at risk of losing their homes, you know, you can kind of do the math. So it could be staring down a really bad situation. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the biggest and prominent area of focus along many others that's, I think, really pertinent right now.
Yeah, no, I do too. I do because, and I'm also reading in your newsletter that saving lives during COVID-19, that fostering is the future, right? For animal organizations, they really have to get a lot of people engaged in fostering in order to continue the work that you guys are doing.
That's right. No, that's absolutely right. You know, with buildings and some of your shelters having to get really creative with staffing, Foster really kind of helped us pull through and really did some really good things with a really bad situation. Because we know as shelters and organizations and animal welfare, the more that we can reach out and get the community involved like fostering, it allows us to house and keep safe a lot more pets than we would be able to in kind of a traditional shelter brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm. And you guys you're doing, I love this. I'm reading about finding love online and whether it's scheduling Zoom calls with potential adopters so they can meet the pets at Best Friends Animal Sanctuary or setting up virtual meet and greets between adopters and foster homes. How is that working for you guys? Is it doing well?
It's doing really well. And I think just like a lot of industries, we have to adapt right now. And
right.
I personally believe, and I think there's a lot of good information out there and your next caller will be great because she's really kind of digging in about health. But animals really provide us with some sanity, you know, no judgment, care, the things that the things that they can provide in such situations like what we're dealing with as a country right now is kind of immeasurable when it comes to relieving stress, having companionship when many of us are very much stir crazy because we need to keep ourselves safe, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm going a little stir crazy. I have not had a good week. I haven't, just to be candid. I just, you know, I it's starting to get to me. And I know there's, you know, everyone else out there feels that way, but it's natural. We've just been through a lot. The world's been through a lot. We have, but organizations like Best Friends are doing so much work out there, incredible work, helping people, as you said, people and pets in need by connecting everyone to, you know, to maybe their true love. Right?
That's right. I mean, that's really a good way to sum it up. That's absolutely right.
Well, let's talk about the pet food pantries that you guys do, because I know you've got the Best Friends Life Saving Center in Salt Lake City that it was transformed into a drive-through pet food pantry. Can we talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes into what we were talking about with foster care. One of the other areas that we've really learned with COVID is there are a lot of really great pet owners through no desire of their own that may have to give up pets. And sometimes it's just giving or alleviating some really bad weeks and helping people out. And pet food, or getting to pet food, or allowing, you know, people that are perfectly good owners who are struggling, a little bit of community assistance, whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, some veterinary care, pet foods, those kind of things. So we've done, along with a lot of partners, but with our own centers, like you said, in Salt Lake City, in Atlanta, Los Angeles, New York City, we're doing a lot of, you know, providing those kind of really basic necessities for pet owners to not only just save the lives of pets entering shelters, but preventing pets from coming in the first place.
Yeah, no, I know. And the key to it is spaying and neutering. A friend of mine found a little cat at her doorstep, which is being spayed right now. Well, we don't know if it's being spayed or neutered because we couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl. It was that little, but it showed up at her doorstep, and Dr. Jimmy Norris has it right now and in his care. And so there's so many animals out there that just need our love and our help. I think we'll go for a quick break. When we come back, I want to hear all about the vintage pet rescue of yours and your wife, Kristen. So we'll be right back, everyone. Stay tuned. More coming up with Mark Peralta. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
I know this song. What is it? There it is.
Yes.
It's Blondie, right?
Yeah, Heart of Glass.
Oh my gosh. My brain is not working well, I swear. It has been one crazy week, but welcome back, everyone. TGIF, it is Furry Friday, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. You know, they are the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food, setting the new standard in pet nutrition, and they are one of our sponsors. I've used their dog food for years and years with all my dogs and cats, and anyway, it's great to have them with us doing the work that we do here with Best Friends and Mark Peralta, the SPCA, all of the animal organizations that we work with, because we care about pets here at One Life Radio. And of course, we love them. We love them to death. And that goes for you guys too, right, Mark?
Oh, 100%. Dedicate our lives to them. So absolutely.
Absolutely. And they give so much back. And if you're just now joining us, Mark Peralta is the Chief Program Officer for Best Friends Animal Society, a leading national animal welfare organization dedicated to ending the killing of dogs and cats in American shelters. It's so important that we do this. And Mark also founded and runs his own little vintage pet rescue with his wife, Kristen, rescuing senior pets from shelters and assisting owners who can no longer care for their senior pets, which is incredibly rewarding. Work. We've talked about this before, Mark. There's just something very different about really helping a senior pet that's been, you know, surrendered or no longer cared about by a longtime, you know, human friend, owner, whatever you want to call them. But it is so incredibly such a beautiful experience to rescue and love a senior pet at the end of their life. And I know you know that well. Do you want to share any recent stories you have with our listeners about that?
Yeah, we've been pretty active, and I'm in Rhode Island currently, and we try to support local shelters and local individuals, as you said. And we've got a brand new guy. He is a 14-year-old American pit bull terrier named Eugene, who just came to us. You know, he has Lyme disease. He has a lot of problems. He was not, you know, in the best condition when we got him, but we took him from one of our local shelters here, and just seeing him cuddling up with our dogs,
aww,
seeing in his face just how grateful he is. It's like, those are, there's little things in life that can give you that kind of fulfillment.
Oh, I know. And it's free, except for the food, of course. But I laughed at Eugene because that's the name of my CPA. I just thought it was funny. I don't know why. But why did you name him? Why did you name him Eugene?
I have a proclivity towards old men names when I get when we bring in dogs that do not already have names. And Eugene was a stray. So he didn't have a name. So I've had a lot of Walters and Clarences and Eugenes. I just think they're such cute names for old guys.
Oh, I do too. I do too. Well, you know, this has been a record year for transports with Best Friends, has it not?
It has. Yeah. Not only us doing them, but us also trying to play kind of matchmaker with organizations who are trying to get animals out of their buildings, and organizations who say, hey, we've got a lot of space, we're not having the same amount of animals. So it's a big part of our work, and it's sometimes we'll do it ourselves and we bring them into one of our centers, but a lot of times it's also, like I said, matchmaking and making that life-saving happen between two organizations that we know.
I love it, and you guys do such incredible work. You do, you know, what is diversity equity, and how can it save more shelter animals?
Yeah, diversity, equity, and inclusion is something that, you know, you're seeing and hearing a lot about. And one of the issues that we have at animal welfare is we're not the most diverse. And what I mean by that is, you know, somewhat racially, but even, the gender kind of, identifiers within, staffs in animal welfare seem to be pretty one-sided. And so what we're trying to do and what we know is if we're going to save the lives of animals, we have to really mean everybody, and how we can kind of not only within how we look as organizations or Best Friends, but also with how we're trying to bring in the community. There's sections of the community that don't have the same resources as others. And a lot of times they've been excluded for years in regards to how we market our pets or how we try to bring people in. So there's big emphasis just on trying to be more encompassing of the communities that we're in or the country that we live in, because we're so different. And that's kind of what makes us stronger. And we learn from each other when we're more diverse and we're better people. And we actually get goals like what we're trying to do is end killing in shelters by utilizing and connecting with as many different people as we can, because one thing that we know, it doesn't matter what your background is or what your religion is, every religion and every background, they love pets.
Absolutely. I like pets more than humans, especially lately. but Best Friends, is working with communities also to help develop more community-based shelters. So how would they differ from city-run shelters? What's the difference?
I think that's the biggest thing, and city-run shelters, are, and many of them across the country are taking this on, but it just kind of, in short, it really is not just being the only way that a shelter services community is by taking pets without any questions or potential help with assistance. What we're trying to do is really kind of advance how a shelter provides resources to a community, and maybe the shelter isn't always the right way to go as to what to do if a pet is in a situation that it needs to be rehomed. There's a lot of different community resources, and even the nicest shelters, and you know this, Bernadette, it's really stressful for animals, with the care, the best staff.
Yeah.
And that's, sometimes the shelter is the right place to go, but it's just really advancing and making sure it's not the only option. Yeah. And it's not saying no to people who want to, bring their pets, but actually providing more upfront resources and being a little bit better partner. And that's really kind of at the heart of what community supported sheltering is. So it's just advancing and looking a little different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it breaks my heart. I couldn't even leave my either one of my cats at the hospital overnight. It nearly killed me. I did it for one night. And then I'm like, no, I have to nurse my babies. I had to have them home. And think about how scared animals are in these shelters. Fostering animals is so important. So is spaying and neutering. That's one of the things I want to talk about, too. The number of cats that are euthanized in shelters is 2-1 with dogs, even though more dogs enter shelters. So what can be done to improve this ratio?
I think they're just, if people could just build awareness about it first and foremost, most shelters, when they get volunteers or supporters, about 60 to 70% of those supporters tend to focus on dogs. And we just as an animal welfare movement, you know, really need to amplify, you know, the plight of cats. And there's just so many things that we can do, but so much right now, there's just so much more of a focus on dogs. And that's not a bad thing. There's plenty of dogs going on, but we just need to bring more cat people to the mix because, yeah. you know, cats are a little bit easier to place oftentimes than dogs, especially large dogs. But, yeah. you know, we just have to, and we can't see them as the same type of animals. They need different things. They're companion animals, just like dogs, but, you know, mm-hmm. cats are just a bit different and just kind of taking different approaches, like community cats that we've talked about in the past. You know, sometimes their homes have never been in a house, and that's okay. So it's just looking at them a little bit different, but also just being aware.
Yeah, being aware. Awareness is everything. And I'm looking in the newsletter again here with this Working Together Through Maddie's Shelter Embedded Project. It says that in Florida and Texas, we should be ashamed here in Texas. It says two of the five states where half of the killing in shelters take place through a powerful mm-hmm. partnership with Maddie's Fund. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, we have really targeted to do some really strategic work with some of the shelters that have the biggest gap of animals that still can be saved. And yes, Texas is one of the highest, one of the top five, but you also, and you know this from living in Texas, you have a huge state with a lot of people and you have a lot of great communities in Texas. So a lot of times it's just because you have such a higher number of pets, but right. we're working really diligently. We have people on the ground that's really just trying to change the momentum, the culture, along with kind of how the programming works to really get people to believe that there's different ways to kind of advance, save lives. And it's been beautiful. So yeah, we're in Abilene, Texas right now. We're in the Rio Grande Valley, which is, you know, Hidalgo and Cameron County way down there at the tip mm-hmm. and also working in the panhandle of Florida. And not oddly enough, it's a lot of those places, they're full of great people and animal lovers. They're just a bit more isolated to the kind of, you know, up-to-date resources yeah. that are really causing turnarounds.
Well, you know, this is important work that you guys do. But, you know, lastly, I wanted to ask you this, that no-kill shelters are most popular in the general public, but many aren't truly aware of what the term means. So will you define no-kill and how the definition may need to be adjusted in 2021?
Yeah, no-kill is very deliberate because it's for over a century, especially from the animal welfare industry, anything that lost its life was considered a euthanasia. Why no kill and the word kill is used for the public is to try to better understand euthanasia when it's really done as it's defined is good. We're not trying to end euthanasia. There are dangerous animals that come in. There are animals that are suffering and on death's doorstep, you know, and it's the kinder yeah. thing to do. That is a euthanasia. But killing, what it does is it deciphers who can be saved. So the community is aware of, well, these are euthanasias. Those are good. But these are animals that basically are running out of time or they're, you know, subsiding to really bad stress and not acting very well and becoming dangerous because of the conditions mm. that they're held in, even in the best shelters. So it's really about defining what's savable and what's not and helping the community understand that a little better so they know how to help their shelter and who they should help.
Yeah, absolutely. Important business that you guys are tending to all over this country at Best Friends. And Mark, thank you so much for all the work that you do and for jumping on the air with us and helping to get us aware of what's going on with all of our wonderful pets that we love and need to take care of all over this great country. Thank you
Always
so much.
Always a pleasure. You too have a great weekend. Thank you
all
so
right.
much.
You too. That's Mark Peralta. You guys, I encourage you to go to bestfriends.org and you can become a Golden Circle member with just $5 donation a month, which really helps them to continue doing the incredibly important work that they do. And visit Mark at vintagepetrescue.org and adopt a senior if you feel inclined. I know that it's a wonderful experience from my own experience, but we're going to go to break. We've got Zen Honeycutt coming up. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you, but I gotta think twice before I give my heart away. And I know all the games you play because I play them too. My heart up off the floor. Oh, when that love comes.
on social media at One Life Radio.
All right, we're back from halftime. TGIF, everyone. This is Fabulous Friday, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. They are the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food, setting the new standard in pet nutrition. And it's fabulous to have them as a sponsor of One Life Radio. They help us pay the bills, and it's a great company, and their products are great. So check them out. You can get them at all natural food grocery stores out there, or you can order directly from them at CastorPollux.com. We've got Zen Honeycutt with us. I'm so excited, you guys. Junior, I know you're excited too.
Yes,
so
I am.
I love talking about this kind of stuff. I do. I am a truth seeker, and I think everyone out there feels kind of the same way. There's nothing worse than being lied to by someone, and that includes all these big corporations that want to genetically modify our food. So that's our topic today, the USDA and GMOs with Zen Honeycutt. She is an activist speaker, author, and the founder and director of Moms Across America, which is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to educate and empower mothers and others with actions and solutions to create healthy communities. She is the author of the book Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community, and director of the film Communities Rising, which can be found on YouTube. You can find them at momsacrossamerica.com or on Instagram at momsacrossamerica. Zen, always a pleasure. Welcome back to One Life Radio.
Oh, thank you so much, Bernadette. It's great to be with all of you and your team, too.
Yeah, I love having you on the air and talking about this kind of stuff. We've been talking about this from the very beginning. I remember one of the first shows that we did with Jeffrey Smith. I know you're familiar with him. He's one of the experts,
yes,
and really one of the leaders that really wrote the books Seeds of Deception and Genetic Roulette, the documented health risks of genetically engineered food. And this is a very big topic. For people that aren't aware, I ask you to please listen to the advice of Moms Across America. So this week, we welcomed a new president, which means a new administration. President Biden has picked Tom Vilsack for the head of the USDA. What can you tell us about him?
Well, it's no surprise that he picked him, first of all, because Tom Vilsack was the head of the USDA during the Obama administration. So they clearly have a former relationship. But it's very distressing because as the former Iowa governor, he was massively in support of genetically modified corn, especially GMO pharmaceutical corn, where they put drugs into the corn. He received a biotech industry, like Governor of the Year awards in the biotechnology industry. He's been known to ride around a Monsanto's private jet and, you know, basically give them favors. Yes. And the thing that Moms Across America was able to hear about firsthand was when I met with farmer Pat Trask in South Dakota on our toxin-free tour in 2017. We've been cross country a couple of times, so not sure which one, but we met with Pat Trask, and he was the farmer who sued basically to protect the agriculture industry from GMO alfalfa and had a Supreme Court case. And they won. But Tom Vilsack, who was the head of the USDA at the time, went ahead and approved GMO alfalfa anyway. He thinks he's higher than the highest court in the land. He basically disrupted democracy in our entire system.
Wow.
So you could see why we are adamantly against his appointment.
Absolutely. Well, it's disturbing to hear. It is. And for those of you, you know, everybody hears what Monsanto, they really don't know. A lot of people, most people don't know the history of Monsanto. Junior, I don't know if you do, if you've ever talked about this maybe with your wife, but, you know, I always like to joke about this. I had this little book about their top hits, you know, kind of like their top songs. But do you know that they invented the atomic bomb? Did you know that? Anybody?
I didn't.
Okay. Agent Orange.
Yeah.
Agent Orange is one of their top hits as well. DDT, saccharin, PCBs, glyphosate, aspirin, all these things that are poisoning us, our children, and our earth. And so Monsanto, to me, represents evil, absolute evil, and big corporate power, way too much power, if you will. But let's get back to the GMO. So it's proven that they're harmful, right? And so how does Vilsack respond when asked about them?
Well, he just adamantly denies that. He thinks that he's been fed the industry lies that by industry studies showing that they are safer, you know, than or just as comparably safe to other foods. And he's ignoring the studies that show that the third generation of hamsters or rats or gerbils, and one of those rodent studies showed that they were sterile by the third generation. He's ignoring that information because he's more concerned with the immediate profits of the GMO companies and the pesticide companies that make these GMO seeds.
Does he own stock?
He simply is ignoring the science.
Does he own stock in Monsanto? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I don't know about that, but I know that that was something to look into. But I know that he is well known to be a shill for agribusiness, and like I said, and to be very cozy with them, and to, you know, do whatever he can to promote GMOs. He really believes that they are beneficial to our agriculture industry, and I don't know if he believes they're beneficial to human beings or not. I don't know if he's even thinking about that, but it's extremely sad that he's been this misinformed and that he continues to promote GMOs in this way.
Mm. Well, let me, so with all the findings on the dangers of GMOs, and this is not new evidence, by the way, this evidence has been around for many, many years, but it just keeps getting ignored. Why is the government not banning GMOs?
I would say the primary answer for that is because our senators and representatives are getting funding from companies like Monsanto, which is bought by Bayer recently, when you mentioned aspirin, Dow, DuPont, Syngenta, you know, AstraZeneca. They are being funded by these large corporations. And I think that is the biggest problem that our government faces, you know, in addition to being poisoned by our food supply, is the fact that our senators and representatives are accepting money from these corporations, and then they then feel obligated to pass policies which benefit them. If we could take money out of politics, all of this would change.
Well, there should be
hopefully
no lobbyists,
you know,
first
we have
of
people,
all.
We've got to get the lobbyists out, yeah.
Yeah. You said Syngenta. Aren't they the ones, are they the big company that makes things like fluoride? Don't they make fluoride?
Syngenta, they may. They are the largest pesticide company in the world. I don't know about them making fluoride. I know fluoride is a sludge product from the, I believe it's the aluminum or steel industry. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering that right now. There's a great movie called Our Daily Dose, which talks all about fluoride. But Syngenta is the largest pesticide company in the world based in Switzerland, and their sister company is AstraZeneca, which produces about 400 different drugs, medications that treat the very symptoms that their pesticides cause.
Well,
so it's a perfect profit circle for them.
Yeah, perfect storm. But we've got a lot. I've got a lot more questions for you. We're going to go for a quick break, and we'll be right back, everyone. More coming up with Zen Honeycutt. She is an activist, speaker, author, and founder and director of Moms Across America. You're listening to One Life Radio.
A champ for all the fellas, try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down cause you're overzealous, play hard to get females get jealous. Okay smarty, go to a party, girls are scantily clad and showing body. A chick walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter. Next day's function, high class luncheon, food is served and you're stone cold munching. Music comes on, people start to dance, but then you ate so much you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking, sits down next to you and starts talking, says she wanna dance cause she likes to groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust the move. Just bust the move.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
TGIF, welcome back. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We are here with Zen Honeycutt, And she's gone.
I will get her back. Hang on.
Okay, I'll read her intro. This has been a crazy week. Oh, you guys, live radio, nothing like it. But Zen Honeycutt is an activist, speaker, and author, and she is the founder and director of Moms Across America, which is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to educate and empower mothers and others with actions and solutions to create healthy communities. She is also the author of the book Unstoppable. You can find her at momsacrossamerica.com or on Instagram at momsacrossamerica. Junior, do we have her back on the line?
We do.
All right, Zen.
There you go. Here.
Well, I've already introduced you. We're talking about the USDA and GMOs. This is a topic that I really love talking about. I do. So, you know, where do I go? Let's see. Let me think about this. So, you know, it seems like, you know, every product at the store has a non-GMO label now. And are these products legitimately tested? Does anyone know?
Yes. Well, most of them are, I would say. They are mostly done by the non-GMO project. Verified, and they have numerous labs which do their testing, and they have to be lower than a 0.9% detectability of any type of GMO ingredients, which is usually only the very smallest amounts of ingredients. So I wish it was 0%, but with the way that the industry is right now and the amount of GMO corn and soy and all of that in our food supply, it's very difficult to have it to be 0%, but they do testing, and the food companies pay quite a bit of money to have that verification.
Well,
it's
not an easy
task.
I won't eat anything that's genetically modified. I won't. I absolutely refuse to. Well, there's way too much science. People want to talk about the science. There's a lot of science and a lot of very smart scientists and microbiologists and professors that think that this is a very bad idea.
Yes. There are, and you can find just some of that science on our website at momsacrossamerica.org/data, D-A-T-A. We have numerous studies there showing that just GMOs by themselves are harmful, and also probably over 100 studies now, even though there's probably hundreds of studies, even thousands, showing that the related chemicals, the agrochemicals that go along with the GMOs are highly dangerous. You know, all kinds of things from cancer, reproductive damage, liver disease, neurotoxicity, all kinds of harm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also testicular cells as well. Mice fed Roundup Ready soy had unexplained changes in their testicles. Milk from RBGH-treated cows may increase the risk of cancer and other diseases. I'm reading this from Dr. Jeffrey Smith's book. There's so much information out here that tells us, scientific research that tells us that these are not safe, and yet they still continue to be touted, if you will, by these big corporations as being safe. So what are some of the big things that you want people to know, some of the important facts for people out there listening, Zen?
Well, the number one ways to avoid GMOs are to avoid corn and soy, canola, and sugar. And a lot of people don't know that sugar, it's GMO sugar beets. So those are the primary GMOs. And if you want to avoid glyphosate, which is 80% of GMOs are engineered to withstand glyphosate, that has also been shown to be incredibly harmful. It's connected to GMOs. And that, in addition to the items I just mentioned, you also need to avoid grains that are not organic, because they spray glyphosate on these grains as a drying agent before harvest. And those grains are things such as wheat and barley and oats, but also on peas and beans and rice and sugar as well. So it's basically eat as much organic as you can. That's how you're going to avoid it. Mm-hmm. Avoid both those things.
Wow. That's so many foods have those things in it. And it's really, so how do GMOs affect us physically and mentally? And do the effects show up immediately? Do we know?
No. Yeah, as far as we know, for most people, the GMOs do not affect people immediately if you're just talking about the GMOs. However, there were instances with the Starlink corn back in, I think, the early 90s, where there was either a death or almost a near death. There were children that were incredibly allergic to this GMO corn. So there have been quite a few instances where people are, you know, immediately allergic, but that's not the majority of the population. Mm-hmm. One of the major ways that they're harmful is that it's long-term, and we don't see it right away. Like I mentioned, one of the studies shows that the third generation of the rats or hamsters that ate GMOs they were sterile. So it wasn't the first generation. It was the third generation. So we're looking at long-term harm here. And then you throw in the harm from the pesticides and herbicides, which can be immediate. And you're looking at things like allergic reactions, rashes, cognitive abilities, you know, diminished, along, you know, miscarriages, reproductive damage, and eventually cancer.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's really kind of scary. It should concern everyone out there. Junior, does it concern you when you hear us talking about this?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, my wife's family has been talking about it since I started dating her. And at first I didn't even know what they were talking about, you know? And so,
yeah.
But yeah, I definitely have been paying attention to it more. And my wife's always been that way. So yeah, definitely. It's something we talk about with our kids as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is so important. It is. And so what are the answers, you know, Zen, what are the answers? What can we do as individuals? Speak with our feet, speak with our pocketbook, and just simply, you know, boycott products that are genetically modified. A lot of people can't afford to, you know, a lot of people, especially right now, they cannot afford an extra dollar for a box of cereal that's non-GMO.
It's very difficult now for most people to spend more money on organic food. I completely understand that. And that's part of the injustice that I am trying to, you know, fight, is I'm trying to make organic food more available for everyone. I mean, for goodness sakes, our grandmothers ate food that was considered organic, but they didn't call it organic. It was all just organic.
Right. Yeah.
So what the answer is now is to buy the foods that you can buy organic, like especially rice and beans. They are not that much more as organic, and switching out things that you eat the most. Like if you eat bread, you know, with practically every meal, try switching that out as organic, and stop buying soda. Stop buying, you know, the cookies and the candy bars right now. For goodness sakes, we do not need to weaken our immune systems with more sugar and junk food right now. So switch out the foods that you can.
Yeah, you just made me think of something. Sean Wells and I have talked about this many times on the air. Those genetically modified organisms, especially when it comes to like high fructose corn syrup, causes obesity. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons if you drink soda and consume a lot of genetically modified foods, you are going to become obese from just a part of it is simply the fact that they are genetically modified. Correct? Isn't that what the science shows?
Well, that's what the animal studies show. I don't believe that's been proven in humans, but in animal studies, they absolutely have shown animals to be more obese eating GMOs. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, they're not going to do the human studies. Who's going to pay for them? Who's going to pay for them? They'll be super expensive. I mean, who's going to pay for that? The people that, you know, that have been affected by it, that through, I mean, it's just, it's really unconscionable that this kind of stuff goes on. It's unconscionable, and I'm
mind-boggling.
Glad. That,
yeah,
but yeah. It's very frustrating.
Says, yeah, and the EPA. I've met with the EPA, and they even say it's not ethical to test pesticides. And I'm sure they would say the same thing about GMOs on humans. It's not ethical. And I said, well, if it's not ethical to test them on humans, how is it ethical to allow them in our food supply for us to eat them? Mm-hmm. 350 million people. We're a giant experiment.
Mm-hmm.
They have no answer to that. We are the experiment, and what we're seeing now is 1 out of 2 of our children have a chronic illness. 1 out of 2 males, 1 out of 3 females are expected to get cancer. I could go on and on. America is in a health crisis, and it's not just because of COVID. It's because of the toxins that we've been eating in our food supply. And the number one step in fixing that is to say no to Tom Vilsack as head of the USDA. And you can go to momsacrossamerica.org and click on our current campaign that says oppose Mr. Monsanto as head of the USDA and stop him from being appointed. That's one of the first solutions. And the second one, of course, is to buy organic food as much as possible and to speak up to your senators and representatives that we do not want GMO food, you know, laden with pesticide residues in our food supply. We simply can't afford it. We are going to go bankrupt as a nation if we continue to kill ourselves with these toxins.
Well, you know, so they make us sick and then they make a lot of money by trying to make us well. You know, I don't know if anybody else out there sees that, but, you know, there's no, I'm serious, right? I mean, a lot of people don't see it. They don't connect the dots. They're too busy raising their children and trying to earn some money to pay their bills, you know, and we should be able. Yes, it's understandable. And so, you know, we've got about a minute left. You know, I guess we can stop him right now, Tom Vilsack, from becoming the head of the USDA. We can somehow perhaps shut it down. through active by being active?
If enough of us speak up, it is possible, because if our representatives and our senators hear from us on both sides of the party lines, then they may say, hang on a second, my constituents do not want him to be appointed. And if I vote yes for him, I may lose their vote next time around.
Wow.
So we need to speak up. And we have a very easy way to do that with one click. You can email them. You could even tweet them or call them or send a video message to them.
Yeah.
And so it's really important now to speak up. This is a very crucial point in the future of America.
I will do it. And Zen Honeycutt, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. I encourage everyone to go to momsacrossamerica.com. Or is it .com or .org? I've got .com on my sheet here.
It's both. Either one.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Always great. Have a good weekend. Wow, what an intense subject to end the week on. But sorry about that. We all need to be aware,
thank you.
All right.
Yes,
thanks, Zen.
So
we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Bernadette Jr.
You're welcome. Everyone, have a great weekend. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Take it easy.